making websites accessible to people with disabilities. It's a challenge all federal agencies face, but they've got to do it by law. Now the General Services Administration has been hit by a lawsuit. Three blind contractors say a crucial site, the System for Award Management, or SAM, is not accessible to them. GSA wants the suit dismissed, and to help sort it all out, we turn to Terry Weaver, former director of IT accessibility at GSA. She joins us now. Terry, good morning.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
All right. Nice to have you. So it seems like there's two issues here. One is whether the SAM site is actually accessible to the blind, and two, whether the plaintiffs are following the proper legal procedure in suing GSA, which says they have to go through administrative procedures. So let's start with the site itself. What's the latest thinking in accessibility, and is the site accessible?
Well, the accessibility thinking has progressed a lot since the law took effect in 2001. It's been quite some time that we've been talking about making websites accessible to people with disabilities. Back in 2001, very little was out there in the way of tools or even companies that had products that you could use to help you find these things out. You come up now to 2014, there's a lot of companies in this area doing that line of business. In fact, the government itself has gotten much more proactive in doing this. There is a community of practice under the CIO Council that does a lot of awareness training about Section 508 and what needs to happen. And you have agencies taking leadership in this area, like the Department of Homeland Security, which does a trusted tester training for government agency, for their people and some other government agency people on how to test sites.
Now, this SAM site came on, I think, after you left GSA, but in your experience as the leader for this, and GSA being the kind of agency that's supposed to be in charge of all this for the federal government, was it your experience that before they would launch a site, you know, sometime after 2001, that they would test for accessibility?
Yes, GSA has made a lot of progress in moving forward on testing for accessibility. It has gone to having a very small but dedicated Section 508 team that tries to work with all of the web people, all the web owners throughout GSA in making sure they meet this requirement. They buy tools themselves. However, these two people are really overloaded in workload, and I think for agencies to rely on a single tester is probably putting a lot of burden on that person. When you look at agencies like SSA or DHS, which have much larger entities involved who do testing and validation using a suite of tools or practices that make this happen.
All right, so let's talk about accessibility for the blind. I mean, blind could be totally blind, or it could be severely sight impaired, in which case, I mean, sometimes you can't see anything. Sometimes you just need large type or, you know, super enlarged type and this kind of thing. So what constitutes best practices now for making these sites available to the sight impaired or the blind? And have you looked at SAM, and does it follow those things?
Well, I'm not a tester, so I can't run a test myself on the SAM site. I did notice that it failed in one of the best practices in that it didn't have an accessibility statement on the page itself. It's the design of the accessibility statement is the purpose behind that, is that if somebody who comes to the site who's blind or has any other disability and can't work with the site, they can click there and it's going to tell them what they need to do to get help. If you go through their embedded search, you get to the to go any questions about accessibility, you go to the federal help desk, and the federal help desk has an accessibility statement, but not on the SAM site. So I think the one area, a good clue to me has always been you need an accessibility statement out there, and it's always been an issue. You know how people are about real estate, about having built-in links or on the footer or the header. They don't like these. They want to have it smooth and clean. Sometimes smooth and clean is trumped by need to have something more evident for people who might need help.
But if you're blind, how would you find the accessibility statement in the first place?
Well, I don't believe anybody's making the statement that the site is totally inaccessible. There are things you can do, but if you can't accomplish all your business needs, that's where the problem comes in. And you might be able to, you know, reading that first site, you know, it's a pretty clean-looking site. I'm sure you can read it quite well. If the search box works on a tester, that's fine, too.
But, all right. So besides the statement, what else should a site do? I mean, should it have does it speak to you? Does it call out orally what it is you're mousing over that's otherwise visual?
It's built to work with the person's assistive technology. So the site doesn't have to have built into it a screen reader. But JAWS, the screen reader that they're citing here, and there's other ones out there, works when your site is built so it can work correctly. It can go through the site. It can tell you how you orient yourself. It can tell you where you need to input information and what type of information. Make sure you understand the order of sequence. If there's a drop-down menu, it reads it to you. So that gets down to the actual code of how the site's built. That's what the testers are good at finding out. So you should not use JAWS as a testing tool because it's really going to say, if you read the entire thing from front to end, that I was able to read everything, and by the way, if I was blind and I was doing that, do I know what I missed? Because if JAWS couldn't find it, if, for instance, it was an image that had some important information but it wasn't tagged properly, JAWS wouldn't tell you that. You can't do anything totally automated. You need to have inspection. And there's a lot of tools are out there to do that. I'm sure GSA may even have some, but there are also expert testers whose full-time job is testing sites.
We're speaking with Terry Weaver. She's a former director of IT accessibility at the GSA and now president of Weaver Consulting. And explain just briefly, if people are using JAWS as their assistive technology, why would you not use it to test the site?
Kind of akin to saying you're only going to use one product to verify that everything works, and you're putting a lot of faith in that one product to be 100% faithful to testing, which is not the intent of the product.
So, in other words, there are competing products to JAWS that some hearing or sight impaired people may also have.
That's correct, and they are not necessarily trying to one up each other, but they look for different things. If you're somebody who's using the site and you have a mobility issue, so you're using a mouse pick, or you're tapping things on a screen, or you have blink technology that lets you work with your screen that way, it's moving through there in a different fashion, and that software needs to work with that site as well.
So, in other words, the person who has the disability or the impairment brings to the site technology they've already chosen for themselves, and the site has to respond to it, but it doesn't have to necessarily be totally accessible in and of itself. Am I putting it right?
Well, it's totally accessible. What it's not is that it's totally accessible in the global sense. The individual nuances belong to the individual. So if you want to use JAWS, you want to use dragging naturally. You're using a reading software. You're using Zoom Text. Whatever you're using to work on that, it has to work with all those products.
All right. Let's get to the issue of the lawsuit itself. Now, GSA is saying that these plaintiffs have no standing here. You can't sue the sovereign government. The lawsuit is against Dan Tangerlini, the administrator of GSA, brought by the American Council of the Blind. What GSA is saying that they have to go through administrative procedures to get this fixed, if in fact it's not compliant. So, what's the truth here? Under the Rehabilitation Act, can someone sue an agency directly?
Well, it's an interesting argument because from the start of Section 508, the import was that a person with standing could file a complaint or sue the government. It was an either or. In fact, we even put out FAQs on section508.gov that said that very thing. You know, these are the options. You know, they wanted people to do administrative, but there was no requirement to make them do that. If you look back at the law in the complaints and enforcement part of the law, it talks about the fact that the means of enforcement is through complaints, and that the complaints they talk about should be administrative, but they also put in there and they can also follow the requirements set forth in Section 505, A, print 2, which basically says, like civil rights or Section 504, you can file a lawsuit as well. So I'm not sure how the judge is going to read this. The argument to me is kind of interesting because we have been putting out, GSA itself have been putting out that you could file a lawsuit under Section 508.gov. Not the current version. The FAQs have been taken down for review, but the FAQs, the original FAQs that were posted on the site and were up there for a number of years, did say, and you can get that in the Wayback Machine, by the way, did say you can file a lawsuit.
All right. So, as you say, a judge is going to have to decide this. But if you were the GSA now, just postulating what it might be like inside there, what do you think they could do to settle this by fixing the site?
Well, the first thing I would do is I would get professional testers in. I'd get a company in to run the site. I would publish the results of my testing. This is what we found out. This is what we're fixing. And I would go back and remediate whatever is not working. When you're talking about business, I think people are legitimately upset when they can't do business. And GSA does demand use of SAM to do business with the government. So I think it's something where if it was any other system, you're talking about the FedRAMP and people couldn't access that for whatever reason, you'd want to fix it so people can get their work processes in place and the company and business can go forward for both small and large.
The FedRAMP is an interesting example because it takes, to make a parallel here, you can't be a cloud provider until a third-party outside assessor says to FedRAMP, this cloud provider is okay from cybersecurity standpoint. Maybe the government, and I'm just postulating this and getting your opinion, should there be independent testing that says this site meets the requirements, and so it's not the government itself trying to certify its own sites?
Oh, Tom, you can get me into trouble with this one. That has been an argument that's been going on for years. There's a strong camp of people, particularly from people with disability advocates, who say there should be a third-party requirement. In fact, there's a new standard coming out shortly that I'm sure is going to start that argument all over again. But the government's position has always been that we can do this ourselves. I think the government in general tends to underestimate the difficulty and complexity of testing sites for accessibility. It's not that simple just reading it with JAWS. You can't come up with all the use cases that somebody might come across in using a site. And to put that burden on a single user with a JAWS screen reader is probably not the best programmatic approach going forward.
But there's nothing to prevent an agency from having an outside lab tested they wanted to.
Absolutely not. There's plenty out there, plenty of companies. A lot of companies have now moved from just doing tools to doing services. They'll do monthly surveys of your site. And it's not just the federal government, you realize. This is also a big issue across the business sector. You know, Target got hit with sites. Redbox has been hit with this. They're all recognizing they need to fix this. And there's companies out there like SSP BART that do this as a business.
All right. Good advice from Terry Weaver, former director of IT accessibility at the General Services Administration, now president of Weaver Consulting. Terry, always great to have you. Thanks for joining us.
You too, Tom. Thanks a lot.